Hello, this is Dorothy. In addition to the weekly format of this podcast, in which I offer practical and spiritual wisdom that I lovingly share with you each Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am so excited to offer a second format of amazing content. It's called Ask Dorothy. These episodes reveal the inner workings of what really happens inside a session of therapy and life coaching with me. Here, I dive into the richness of content that each client brings to our sessions and how we best navigate what insights, teachings, solutions, and of course, healing and wholeness abounds. I know that listening will offer you much wisdom and guidance in the ways that bring to life what you need, and also how to implement the best practices and teachings that I share to honor all of what you seek and all of what you are becoming. In each of the Ask Dorothy episodes, you will also hear my candid observations and commentary, and the process for how we arrive in a place of harmony, relief, clarity, understanding, and the true change that happens in each and every session because of a client's willingness to grow, to evolve, to move beyond their comfort zone and into the revelation of what they already know, what they learn to be capable of, and what they desire most for their life. My job is always to support a client's progress and to provide the right tools and best therapeutic practices to ensure that each client will reach their goals, including to be all that they wish to become. I hope you'll enjoy the Ask Dorothy series as an opportunity to have the knowledge and insight of what we can do together. If you have a question that needs my love and helpful guidance, please write to me. All right, so let's jump into this episode and Ask Dorothy. It's possible that your child will have some or many of the same cognitive, emotional, and behavioral needs as you did when you were young. Still, all children thrive in the presence of love. My client Samantha and I spoke about the origin and root cause of her son's behavioral tendencies, his well-established diagnosis of ADHD, and the latest outburst which led to her six-year-old wielding his fist straight at her face. Samantha had a black eye. Here I would help my client by sharing some of the constructive benefits of self-regulation that I encouraged her to both practice and, of course, to teach her son, Aaron. With the tools to successfully calm himself, to express his anger in a healthy and safe way, without causing harm to another, to help him process how he feels with cognitive restructuring and problem-solving solutions. And of course, to help Aaron understand why it is so important that human beings learn to self-soothe and to self-govern their words and actions. Anyone who has lost control for even brief moments knows what it feels like on the other side of poor choices, and when what has been said or done is something reprehensible. And now this too becomes added to a list of reasons for self-condemnation, guilt, and shame. Samantha described her actions to physically intervene, to prevent Aaron from throwing a rock in the direction of their dog. Her words to Aaron ignored, Samantha swooped in, lifted him off of his feet, and sat him on the sand. Aaron happened to land on a rock, and he felt the sharp pain beneath him. His reaction was to hurt back. Children are reactive in how they express themselves. They also learn from astutely observing each parent and every caregiver. When I work with a child or their parents, I see patterns. I see parents who continue to struggle with their own challenges and unhealthy habits, and the maladaptive behaviors that make it difficult to model what a child needs to see. Their arsenal of skills and effective strategies is not yet comprehensive nor complete. I stand affirmed to the theory that one's child is reacting to life occurring all around them, but also acting in a way that they have learned from observation. Habits that are taught directly and also lived in their environment, established as normative behaviors. Children will always act as a mirror to how we treat them, to our own behavior, and to how they see us respond to and treat others. It's nature and nurture. And your child is receiving not only your DNA, but also the learned ways in which you experience and live your life. As a parent, you are the walking billboard for what your child learns, both positive and less than so. If we know this, then it places great responsibility on positive change that we are responsible for. Prior to raising a child. Imagine if the world lived by this value, that for whatever wounds and hurts we hold, that humanity would first be inclined with deliberate action and consistent effort to improve oneself first, to have the right tools, guidance, and habits as a work in progress, if not mastered long before one teaches another human being all that they know. Including their beliefs and values. It's likely that there were still other diagnoses that had not been made for Aaron. And yet for right now, I encourage Samantha, who, together with her former husband, were co-parenting with their own set of struggles and power imbalances, to focus on teaching Aaron the self-regulation tools that would allow him to master himself. Something that we all need to know and excel at. I will touch back with Samantha in another Ask Dorothy episode of the Wisdom Podcast. And after she and Aaron's father have had some time to work at these teachings, to model the right behaviors in times of frustration, upset, and emotional exhaustion. And to teach Aaron how to best do this for himself, so that he could learn and master the life skills needed to self-regulate his emotions and to self-soothe. This for any child, and certainly a child who has ADHD diagnoses and behavioral issues, would benefit from greatly. Self-regulation is a relatively new practice for schools and teachers. However, it is not new. It is something that we all as human beings have learned early through the help of our caregivers, or we have learned what self-regulation is not, or likely some of both. And just a note here, there is no blame directed at your parents or your parents' parents for what you have or have not learned, because as an adult, you are self-autonomous. You must be responsible for learning what you need to know to live as your best self. Your best self includes being able to calm yourself when frustrated or angry. And just like a child can self-assess using a rating scale of 0 to 5 or 1 to 10, adults can also determine how they feel and to self-adjust with healthy tools and practices to return to calm or zen as needed. Whether you are a parent or on your way to becoming one, I invite you to listen on with the intention of asking yourself, how could the practice of self-regulation help me? And how can I apply self-regulation to my life in moments when I feel disconnected, sad, angered, upset, or any other emotion that doesn't feel good? When you have the ability to remain in control of yourself, you have self-mastery. I'm going to suggest that we all allow for a 2% error, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a good number to strive for because there will be some moments that will overwhelm us. But if you use self-regulation, you become skilled at it, and then it has the propensity to work for you in any situation, in any moment. The secret is to be self-aware so that you can monitor how you feel, so that you may intervene long before you get to a 9 or a 10 on your internal rating scale. I recommended to Samantha that she and Aaron's father both teach their son how to check in often to assess how he feels, and to have him associate simply by asking when he is a 2 or a 3, a neutral emotional state, what helps you to be at this number. This reinforces Aaron's ability to self-regulate and also to reaffirm what allows him to do for himself what is needed to be calm. Challenging behavior that is typically labeled as oppositional, defiant, manipulative, and attention-seeking is not always in a child's control. It is more accurate and helpful to understand this behavior as a sign that children cannot handle their big emotions, such as mad, sad, and scared. When children feel overwhelmed, their emotions are getting the best of them. That is, they are not in that moment able to self-regulate. Self-regulation is the ability to remain calm, cope with big emotions, adapt, and respond appropriately to one's environment. Self-regulation is an important life skill because it allows children to do well in school, have healthy friendships, and to thrive at home. It helps children to feel good about what they can handle and about themselves. And a few notes on self-regulation and brain development. It can be helpful to think of the brain as made up of two different but equally important parts, the downstairs brain and the upstairs brain. The downstairs brain includes the brainstem and limbic system. It controls our body's basic functions, such as heart rate and breathing, and the stress response, that is, fight, flight, and freeze. When our downstairs brain senses danger, it moves us to act immediately. And before we think through options or assess what strategies may be most effective, this survival instinct, which causes adrenaline to pump through our bodies, can be life-saving. The problem, however, occurs when our downstairs brain wrongly interprets everyday stress as a danger. When children do not have the skills to meet the demands of their environment, to help them accurately assess and find a solution, their strong emotions can trigger them to react without the skill of rational thinking. When this occurs ongoing, it can lead to a combination of social, emotional, behavioral, and academic challenges. When children feel safe and relaxed, they can use their upstairs brain that includes the prefrontal cortex. This part of the brain gives rise to self-awareness and self-control. It allows them to pause in the moment and think before they act. During this moment, a child or anyone can reflect, consider other perspectives, empathize with others, plan, reason, make good decisions, and problem solve. The development of our upstairs brain determines how able we are to self-regulate. The upstairs brain takes time to develop fully, growing all the way into young adulthood. That means that younger children have more difficulty than older children with self-regulation and coping and adapting. Environment easily triggers very young children. When they feel big emotions, again, mad, sad, or scared, they throw a tantrum or have a meltdown. They find it difficult to cope with and adapt to change. Frequent or intense challenging behavior is often a sign that children do not have the skills they need to calm themselves or self-regulate when they feel overwhelmed. As children grow up and their brains develop, they become more able to manage their thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. They become better at staying calm when they feel upset, stopping to think before they act, doing what is expected of them even when they don't want to, paying attention and avoiding distraction, staying focused on their goals, waiting to get what they want, adapting to changes in their environment, and cooperating with others. Research shows that when children learn and practice self-regulation skills, they are forming pathways in their brains that increase their ability to manage stress in the future. Think about how self-regulation practice can help you manage what you perceive as stressful. In all of life's moments, and especially when we are caught off guard, when we are aiming to reshift our thinking, to remain calm, to return to calm, to screen our thoughts, to be kind, to pause, and to consider the outcome that would be best before we act. And in the moments when we witness ourselves out of balance, we can use self-regulation to return to a place of inner calm and focus that we can make the best possible decisions from. And we can be our kind and loving self most easily. As I explained a few self-regulation practices to Samantha, for her to experience herself and to teach Aaron, I'd like to share one here with you. It is called breath counting, and it is a natural predictor of the feeling of calm and relaxation. It begins with counting as you inhale and counting the counts as you exhale. You should have two different numbers. The next step is to aim to modify your breathing so that you can achieve an equal number of counts in and out. Try this with me now. When you are calm, you will likely experience an equal and balanced respiration rate, or close to it. When you feel unwanted emotions, your respiration rate changes. Finally, aim to increase your exhalation counts by one or two, so that you are breathing out for longer than you breathe in. For example, if you inhale for four and you've been able to exhale for four counts, now aim to exhale for a count of 5 or 6, whilst keeping your inhalation counts the same. Use this breath counting technique in moments when you feel neutral to experience how it calms and centers you. With skill practice, then you will wish to use it in the moments when you need to return to calm and balance. Parenting is fluid. It is as much a process of deliberate co-creating, manifesting, as it is being intuitive and open to what is needed. A child that is acting out, that has the ability to tell you what it needs in that moment, may surprise you with their answer. The truth is that all of us, and children specifically, need more love. We all thrive on it. Love is boundless, and it is what allows us to feel whole, happy, limitless, and of our infinite nature. As well, the more love that you give, the more love that you feel. Love with teachable moments. Love that is given with humor that can instantly change the energy and outcome of a situation. Love has this instantaneous and magical effect. We automatically and quite perfectly feel love first in order to give it. Therefore, we benefit equally, if not more, from all of our demonstrations of love given and received by others. If you want to experience this altruistic means of self-regulation for yourself, consider feeling love towards your child or anyone else right now. Let the feelings of love grow within you, almost to the point of bursting through you, where you feel inspired to take action, to go and kiss your child or text your loved one a message of love and kindness, and to witness what it feels like within you to feel love. This is the impact of love on all of us. It becomes so big and bountiful that we cannot help but act upon it in beautiful ways. If your child has been diagnosed with a learning or behavioral challenge, yes, you will have to help them in ways that will also challenge your growth. And self-regulation is at the heart of this. It will help your child and you should you decide to walk the talk and to also embody and practice what you are teaching. And in the moments when you both are struggling to remain calm and to do the right thing, that is, when it is most important to love first, to find a way in that moment when you wish to pull your hair out, to yell uncontrollably, to lose your cool. In that moment, choose something to love. About your child, about the situation, about remembering that you have a choice, and then choose an act of love. Love will work wonders for you and your child both. And it will give you the moments of reprieve in which to feel self-control return, to hold in your heart the gift of compassion for this moment which you have just saved, for which you have reclaimed, for which you now can choose well what comes next. Love as self-regulation. Who would have thought? Yet it works so well. For more readings and resources on self-regulation, including breathing techniques, cognitive restructuring, identifying and changing feelings that parents need to know and live by, I have included here a list for you. The link is in the description. Thank you all so much for listening. And remember, even if you're not a parent, self-regulation is important for us all to master. Thank you so much for listening. This is Dorothy. Namaste. Thank you so much for joining me in this episode of the Wisdom Podcast. To hear more, please check out the other episodes right here. And I'd love for you to subscribe and share your feedback on this or any episode with me. And then join me at dorothyratusny.com, where you'll find the Wisdom Blog, the inspiration for this podcast, the latest online courses that I teach, my YouTube videos, and the Wisdom Archives, which are an extensive library of guided meditations, mindfulness musings, spiritual teachings, and best therapeutic practices for your whole being, and to nourish and heal your life, plus many other special offerings of love. Please also visit me on social media and say hello. Allow yourself to go within, to access your inner wisdom, and to live this. Awaken your authentic power, live your truth, and be love. Thank you. This is Dorothy.